Hey, this is Adam Penapinto. I'm the pastor here at Hope Covenant Church, and I'm so glad that you're joining with us today. Whether this is your first time listening or you're a part of our Hope Covenant Church family, we would love to connect with you via social media on all social media outlets or on our website, hopecovenant.cc. I hope this word encourages, inspires, and challenges you in your daily walk with God as we dig deeper into His Word. Let's jump right into today's message. Have you ever noticed how quickly joy can be stolen from us? Have you ever noticed that? It might be just you woke up and rolled on the wrong side of the bed sometimes. You can go from singing in the morning to being stressed out by lunchtime. That's not hard to do. And joy fades when we allow circumstances, people, or even our own thoughts to rob us. And I want to pause there for a minute because it's important that we take authority over our thoughts. We have the mind of Christ, and it is important when your mind is racing that you take authority over your thoughts that might be ungodly thoughts, that might be of the Lord. If it's something that's discouraging and you go, oh, Father, I'm going to just take a pause right now, and I'm going to thank you for your joy, and you welcome the joy of the Lord, and it'll come. Joy, it fades when we allow circumstances, people, or even our own thoughts to rob us, yet in Scripture, joy is not a passing feeling. It's a scriptural position that we can stay in. Amen? So today I want to give you four facts to identify that if applied will lead to a place of unshakable joy, meaning you cannot be shaken. And the first one is that joy is a gift. It's not just a feeling. And a lot of times we confuse this. I've even confused it. I don't feel like it. Well, we've got a generation. It is important that I've said this for a while as we're all in the fields that we understand joy is not just a vibe. Joy is something that is an impartation from the Lord. It's literally a part of who He is. Amen? Amen. So Jesus said in John 15, verses 10 to 11 in the NIV, if you keep my commands, we read this last week. I won't read it again because it's just that good. You will remain in my love just as I have kept my Father's commands and I remain in his love. I've told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. So joy is not something we manufacture, it's something we receive. You got that? We're not acting this. This is something we receive from the Lord. The world offers happiness, but happiness is dependent on what happens. Joy is rooted in Christ, unshakable by circumstances. So think of joy like a thermostat in your home. Circumstances may change the temperature, but joy sets the climate inside your soul. I love that. The second thing is that joy must be protected. In Nehemiah 8, verse 10, it says, the joy of the Lord is your strength. That's where we get that verse from that we quote all the time. Joy is your source of strength. It's your source of strength. So it's no wonder the enemy works overtime to rob it. And what steals joy? I want to go over this. Number one, comparison. Look at what others have, and it can kill your gratitude, and you're thanking God. The other day, Liz and I, we're seeking God for some things, and we want to do some expanding on our house, and we're just having some life chats. Anybody ever have the life chats about things you want to do? And, you know, it's like, okay, we'd like to one day have a house, and we'd like that has a pool, and all of these. We started talking about all these things, and we were talking about all that we have to do, and I said to Liz, I said, you know, babe, I feel like right now we just need to thank God for what we have right now because we're in the right place at the right time. This is where God has us, and I'm grateful. So we joined together, and we pray together as a couple regularly. We just started thanking God for His goodness, thanking God for our job, and thanking God for this church, and thanking God for all the people that we have around us, and who God's, and we said, Lord, we just welcome Your, and all of a sudden, we felt the presence of the Lord and a gratitude come over us. What was that? It was the joy of the Lord that was coming from an attitude of gratitude. Look at your neighbor, say, attitude of gratitude. Yeah, you know, when you get out of that complaining thing and you start thanking God for what He's done, if He did it then, He'll do it now. And you start praising Him in the middle of what you're looking at, in the middle of maybe there a lack that's there, you go, but God, I thank you, Lord, I'm standing. And that's a good thing. I'm here. I woke up this morning. That's a good thing. So what steals your joy? Comparison. When you look at what other people have. Number two is complaining. We just said it. focused on what's going wrong instead of what's going right. Are you focusing on what's going right in your life, in your business, and in your, maybe you have teams that you manage, and are you looking at them and going, you know what, thank you so much for what you do. You know, if you want a better performance out of somebody, I was just reading this week about pastors, and it's true of managers. It's just basically saying the same thing. It's true in the corporate world. This is not just for church. It was saying that if you want to get more out of your team, start celebrating your team. The more you celebrate them, is the more you'll get out of them. Amen. Because why? It brings joy. How many of you know nobody wants to be tolerated? Everybody wants to be celebrated. Well, when you start celebrating the goodness of God in the middle of a challenge or a situation, you will be filled with His joy. You'll be encouraged. So comparison and complaining steal your joy, and circumstances. Letting situations dictate your spirit, we got to be careful of that. That know the joy of the Lord. It might look like this, but God, I thank you, you're good, and you're not bringing me around this, you're bringing me through it. Yep. Why? Because there's character that's developed when we go through it. Don't try to get around it. Paul wrote Philippians, it's called the letter or book of joy. And he wrote this while he was, I don't know if you knew that, that Philippians, it's called the letter or the book of joy, because he was writing a letter to the church of Philippi. And he did this when he was in prison. There was tremendous, turbulent circumstances, uncomfortable situations. Could you imagine writing a book of joy while you're in jail? He refused to let chains steal his joy. So protect your joy by guarding your thoughts. Paul said this in Philippians 4, verse 8. He said, finally, brothers and sisters, again, he's writing this from prison, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about those things. So this practical application, protect your joy by guarding your thoughts. Number two, stay grateful. In 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 16 to 18, it says this, rejoice always. This is Paul saying this. Pray continually. And give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. We were on Thursday, we were praying in this room. We had a corporate prayer, and it was amazing. I loved it. I actually thought it was really a great time of encouragement. And the Lord reminded me of something, that the power of prayer to shift a circumstance literally can make you joyful because it raises hope. How many of you love that? Yeah. I love that we can have hope in the Lord, that no matter what's going on, we can rejoice, we can pray, we can give it to God, we can communicate with the Lord and say, this situation is difficult, and then give thanks. We enter into His gates with thanksgiving, we enter into His courts with praise, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. That's His will. Verse 18, it says, this is His will for you. To rejoice always. It's literally God's will, which means it's a command. It's a command for us to not lose our joy. I said it last week, the greatest testimony we can have is when we're dealing and walking through the fire, dealing with challenges, but we have not lost our joy. Number three, staying in God's presence. David said, Psalm 16, verse 11, you make known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. I love that verse. I've been declaring that verse all week. I love how it says, you make known to me the path of life. If you're seeking God for direction, you're seeking God for wisdom in a situation, and maybe you have a loss of joy because you're not sure where to go, you're not sure what to do, you just declare this verse, Psalm 16, 11, because it's powerful. It's the word of God. Remember, it doesn't contain God's word. It is God's word. You say, you make known to me, Father, the path of life. I might not know what to do, but you do. You will fill me with joy in your presence. So Father, I thank you for your presence right now, right where I am, right in the middle of my house, right in the middle of this discouraging situation. I'm not going to let a rock outpraise me. And you start praising and you see the chains break. You see the prison cells shake when you start singing to the Lord. Amen. If He did it then, He'll do it now. Woo, look at your neighbor, say you need to get encouraged. Number three, joy is a choice. Joy is not about what happens. It's how we respond in the midst of what happens. How we respond in the midst of the challenge, the trial, the loss, the grief. It's okay to grieve and say, this loss happened. We've all dealt with loss. Liz and I, we went to go to sleep last night. We like to watch. How many of you love the show Frasier? Anybody watch the show Frasier? About two psychologist brothers who have mad issues. I love it. And there was one where Niles was in the hospital. And we were it was so sad because he was dealing with a heart issue. And it got really sad. And I went to Liz. I said, we've both been there before. Because those of you that have been here for a while remember Liz lost her mom and dad and then her brother. And we had two miscarriages. And it was like, oh, my gosh, Lord, we can't handle anymore. How many of you know when we're weak, he's strong? And through that situation, we found an encounter with God and an access to the heart of the Father. We felt his love that carried us through that situation. Just because we don't understand, remember, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. It's okay to say, God, I don't get this. It's okay to say, God, I don't. When you give that to the Lord, say, Lord, I don't get this. This didn't make, it didn't make any sense when I was 16 years old and my 13-year-old brother died. But when I got my joy and my personality shifted, I've shared it with y'all before. It's been a while, so I'm gonna share it again. If it's repeat information, just get over it. But I literally had a personality shift because I encountered the joy of the Lord. I'm writing a book that I'm almost finished about called The Fourth Chair. When we were sitting at the kitchen table and I looked at that fourth chair and the Lord said to me, you've got a choice. You could either wallow in this grief or you can cling to me and I'll literally operate in you and change this whole thing inside of you. But I had to surrender my understanding. I had to stop trying to figure it out. It'll rob your joy trying to figure it out. Right now, some of y'all are dealing with some business challenges. You're trying to figure it out. Just trust the Lord that he's up to something better than what you thought you had figured out. Oh, man, the joy will come in when you go, I don't know what's going on. I know my checkbook doesn't look good, but I know God is. I don't understand the situation. I don't understand all these teams that have come through, and I don't understand all the betrayal and all the hardships that we've gone through, but I know God's good. Maybe the Lord's allowing you to experience some of those things. Not that God created it, but he allows us to walk through some things, and I consider it an honor to go through some of what Jesus did. Liz and I have walked through some betrayal, and we go, you know what? Maybe Jesus is just trying to show us a little bit of his heart in this situation. You go, that's hard to have that posture, but when you do, the joy comes in like a flood. When you start praying for your enemies and those that betrayed you, that's how you know you're in a godly place. Amen? So joy is a choice. Habakkuk 3, verses 17 to 18. And this is a poetic thing. This is not literal. I studied this pretty hard, this verse. It says, though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails, and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God, my Savior. It wasn't that those things were literally happening. It was saying, no matter what the circumstance, God, I'm going to praise you and I'm going to rejoice. When I have a lot of cattle in the barn, which today means I've got a lot of money, because that was the currency of the day was cattle, I'm going to praise you. When I have the currency, I'm going to praise you. When I don't have the currency, I'm going to praise you. What happens when the rubber meets the road? There's a testing of your joy. Are you allowing the joy of the Lord to be your strength? Paul and Silas, we just referred to this 2 seconds ago. I got a little ahead of myself. I want to dig in a little bit more. Paul and Silas began to sing in prison in Acts 16. They chose to rejoice, and their joy brought a tremendous breakthrough. Let's read about it. Acts 16, verse 25 to 26 in the NIV. I'm getting pumped about this verse right here because this is what I believe. This is the crux of it. If you take anything away, I want you to focus on this verse. It was about midnight, and Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. They were rejoicing, and other prisoners were listening to them. Notice, this affected others. Want you to listen to that. It affected others. Suddenly, Everybody say suddenly. Suddenly. Look at your neighbor, say, you need to get ready for suddenly. Oh, I hope I'm stirring somebody's faith here this morning. I feel this in my spirit. Suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake, and the foundations of the prison were shaken. And at once, all the prison doors flew open, and everyone's chains came loose. Can we give God a shout of praise? Yes. God's trying to shake some of you that feel like you're in a prison cell. You need to start rejoicing. You need to start giving God thanks, because he's freed you from that. You can't always choose your situation, but you can choose your response. Every day, you can choose to remain in a place of joy. Number four, and I'm going to end right here. Joy sustains and overflows. I've given this example before. Can you put the keyboard on just for a second? Y'all hear that? With a lot of verb on it. That's called a sustain. What does that mean? It keeps going. It lingers. It keeps going. It lingers. Joy keeps lingering. It keeps going. It overflows. Joy is not just for you. It's a testimony to others. It'll overflow out of you into others. Psalms 30, verse 5, David said this. Oh, David, up and down and up and down and up and down and up and down. But he was trying. A little train that thought he could. In the NIV, it says, for his anger lasts only a moment, but his favor lasts a lifetime. Weeping may stay for the night. Jen, this is a word for you. But rejoicing comes in the morning. Passion Translation says it like this. I've learned that his anger lasts for a moment, but his loving favor, I love the word favor, lasts a lifetime. We may weep through the night, but at daybreak, it will turn into shouts of ecstatic joy. I love the Passion Translation. It's so wordy. When you stay in joy, you shine as a witness to others, and people see that your peace, because that's what happens. You get the infiltration of God's peace and strength. They don't come from the world. They come from him. Amen. So I'm going to wrap up and say this. Staying at a place of joy, it's not ignoring pain. It's anchoring yourself to Christ in the midst of it. Can I read that again? Because it was way better than y'all amened. Yes. Staying at a place of joy is not ignoring pain. It's anchoring yourself to Christ in the midst of it. And the church said,
amen.
Joy is your gift from God. It's your strength through trials and your choice every day. It's a daily choice. I've been waking up lately going, I thank you, God. Your joy is my strength. I don't care what hits me. I feel like something might. But I thank you for your joy in the midst of it. Sometimes you feel those arrows. You're like, I think I dodged that one. You don't have to think about dodging anything. How many of you know your praise is your greatest weapon? I want to say this to some of you that have been rebuking the devil all the time. Start, you know, your praise is your weapon. You don't have to rebuke the devil when you start praising. There's nothing wrong with it. I believe in binding and loosing, but I believe in praising 10 times more, because when I praise, I don't even have to worry about it. I don't even give him the devil who? No, your praise is your greatest weapon. So I want to give you this challenge today. Where have you been letting joy slip? Today, will you choose to stay at a place of joy no matter what it looks like? Will you choose to be faithful is really what we're saying. You go out and look at it that way. When you stay in a place of joy, remember, it's his will for you. Are you remaining faithful to his will for you? We could all get bummed out by circumstances, situations. We all mess up. We all make mistakes. His grace is sufficient. Amen. I'm not suggesting you take advantage of his grace, meaning don't do premeditated sin and go, oh, he'll forgive. Don't do that. No, there's a lifestyle change that comes when you accept the Lord. But we all fail. We all fall. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But when we repent, there's joy. There's joy. So this morning, here's what I want to do. I want to just stand to our feet. I believe we're done. Lord, we repent right now for anything that's been blocking your joy from being our strength. And Lord, we make a decision. Say today, I make a decision. Lord, I'm staying at a place of joy. I'm not losing my joy. It's not my joy. It's your joy that's my strength. So I invite you, Spirit of God, to fill me, to restore, and to anchor your joy in my heart, no matter what the optics, no matter what I see. Lord, you're good. Father, you're good. No matter what I feel, God, you're good. Feelings, you come in line. I thank you, God, your joy. If you believe that, would you give God a shout of amen? Even if you don't believe it. 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 Lord, I thank you for your joy. Listen, I know today was a little shorter, but I feel like it's supposed to be. I want you to leave today and go find a place where you could get with God just one-on-one. This is the homework assignment. And say, Lord, I deal with some situations. You know what I deal with. They're difficult. But Lord, I thank you that this week you would keep me at a place of joy. I'm not going to lose joy ever again. And just get with God and say, Lord, fill me. Lord, we thank you for your joy. We thank you for your joy. I pray that every person here, no matter what they're staring at, no matter what they're dealing with, no matter what grief has come, I thank you that there will be a breakthrough as we break out in praise. Your joy that would become our strength. If you believe that this morning, would you just give God one more shout of praise? Yeah. You go, why do you ask us to shout and holler and everything? Or why do you get all Pentecostal? Listen, there's breakthrough that happens. That's why I want you to experience the breakthrough. Listen, we're dismissed. I love you guys. I'll see you next week. If you enjoyed today's message, I want to encourage you to like it and share it on social media or jump onto our website, hopecovenant.cc, and click on our giving link and help us continue to share the message of Jesus across the world. God bless you and have an awesome week.